Father, as we just gathered to look into your word this morning, I'm asking, Lord Jesus, for your anointing. I'm asking you to bring to remembrance everything that you've showed me, that our hearts would be open to receive everything that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about life pitfalls and discoveries, and I want you to know something. The Lord woke me up this morning a little earlier than I anticipated, and I believe gave me some things. If you ever prepared a lesson and a sermon, and the Lord all of a sudden changes some things, first thing that hits you is fear, because you have everything that you think in order. And the second thing is, oh God, are they going to receive what you're saying? And I want you to know something. The message this morning is staying focused on God. Staying focused so much that you finish the race strong. We've looked at a couple different things, but what he really laid upon my heart is this, that it's hard to stay focused on God. It's hard because a lot of people drift. They drift away from God. They don't intend to, but they begin to drift away from God. And as they drift away from God, it gets easier and easier to be away from God. During this period of time, the things of God become not so important anymore. It begins to be a conviction. Then it begins to be a rebellion that you don't want to make a change. And then it begins that you get, if you do it long enough and you drift far enough away, you begin to be mad at God. God's word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so many in that state of rebellion, in the state of walking away from God, in the state of challenging God on his word and what he says to us, says, God, where were you when I was going through this? Where were you when I was going through that? And God says to us, that promise is not for everyone. Do you hear me this morning? He doesn't promise to never leave you nor forsake you when you disobey, when you walk away from him, when you challenge him. It's for the believers that he says, as you are faithful to stand on my word, I promise you that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So as when we have those moments of rebellion, and we've all been there, we have all been there. I don't care if you're a Christian one day or 50 years, you have been there at some point and numerous times in your walk with God, that you have challenged God when you know where you're supposed to be and you know where you're at and they don't line up, and then you challenge God. And we don't like that God says that he loves us enough that he will chastise us and come after us and cause us to stumble until we get back on track. Now that's a heck of a way to wake up this morning. You know what? I haven't even touched the message yet. But that's a heck of a way to be woken up. Write this down. He tells us to run the race and finish strong. We don't get a prize for just participating. We live in a day and age today that everybody gets the t-shirt. Just start the race and it doesn't matter. You get a t-shirt. Just start the race and even if you go off track, you're still going to make it. We still have funerals that a scoundrel that never wanted God in his life, he's in a better place. Doesn't line up with God's word. He tells us to finish strong. He tells us to be intentional. He tells us that it's going to take training. It's going to take effort. It's going to take us stumbling and falling. But he says, if you'll do that, I will be with you and I will guide you. keeping that in mind, let's open in a word of prayer for the message this morning. Father, again, we ask you to have an open heart to hear what you have to say to us this morning. This nation is in a mess, but God's people don't have to be. And I'm asking, Lord God, that we would apply this word to our hearts in Jesus' name. We continue to look at it. We've looked at unforgiveness and the discovery of how forgiveness changes our life. We've looked at the wisdom of God, and it's kind of, this is the part, kind of the second part of that. We looked at the wisdom of God in trials and temptations. And if you remember from last week, a trial is something sometimes that God allows in our lives to bring us back into order, brings us back from our disobedience. It may be a trial that someone else has caused you. So, you know, all trials that you go through aren't always your fault. There is a trial because somebody does something to you that you can't control. Somebody leaves. Somebody hurts you. Somebody destroys something that's yours. And God still wants, in those trials, for us to walk with Him, to trust in Him, to learn any lessons that come. And then we talked about temptation, and we saw in God's word that God does not tempt us by doing evil. God, it does not use evil to cause us to stumble. But we know that most temptations come because of the flesh. You desire whatever it is more than you desire to walk with God. You desire, and you've made an intentional decision that you will pay the price, if there is one, for where you're at. And then we know, and I said many times that I don't see a devil behind every tree, but we know we are tempted, that God allows Satan to stir in us to see where we're at, and Satan is quick to be there to destroy us. Bible says that he will come to kill, steal, and destroy. And what he comes to kill, steal, and destroy is anything that would draw you close to God. And this morning, as we look again to Hebrews chapter 12, I just want to read three verses. The writer of Hebrew gives us some guidelines, and I believe tells us how we can stay focused and how we can finish the race the way we're supposed to and intended as children of God. Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 1, reading to verse 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin so easily entangles. Now that's pretty self-explanatory. But I want you to see something. Remember, I've said it before, that anytime you see the word therefore, means that you need to go back to the previous chapter and see what? What it's there for. So when the writer of Hebrews is saying this, he's referring to going back to chapter 11, which we're all familiar with as the chapter of faith. And it goes on, and you see Noah, you see Abraham, you see Isaac, you see Moses, you even see the prostitute Rahab that is there, that protected the spies and was shown mercy from God. And you see that they all accomplished great things for God. They all endured a lot of pain and suffering for their faith. They were all commended for their faith, but listen, they all died before they saw the promise. Before the cross. This was before the cross. They all were hopeful for God to accomplish and do everything that he said. They were on the other side of the cross, but held on and believed God for the promises. And the word says, being made perfect. That's the cloud of witnesses that we have. That's the cloud of witnesses that we have. That's the Christ that we serve that accomplished all that he said that he was going to accomplish. And that is our help for our walk with God. I can tell you that I'm sure that each one of us could think of someone that has helped us in our journey with God. Say amen to that this morning. Each one of us could think of someone that has taken the time to show the love of Christ. We can each one of us could point to a time, and it's why I'm so animate about evangelistic efforts. I'm sure each one of us could remember a time that somebody somewhere at some point in your life invited you to come to church and you responded. And God got a hold of your heart. God began to do something. The Bible talks about the faithful witnesses most of the time as martyrs. If you look at the Bible, you see somebody that was faithful and then you see they were martyred or they lost their life before Christ could accomplish all these things. Today, instead of being witnesses, we want to be spectators. And instead of being witnesses, we're just clouds. Do you hear me this morning? We're just clouds. Instead of being a cloud of witness, instead of being what God intends, we're a spectator and all we become is something blurred. That someone's not sure what we're accomplishing in our lives and where he says, run the race with perseverance that has been marked out for us. What does he mean? He means to accomplish what he's asked you to do. Accomplish what he's intended for you to do. Persevere. Not only start the race, but finish the race. Not only finish the race, but finish the race strong. And take as many people with you as you can. And the way we do that sometimes is surround ourselves with people of faith. You have trouble walking in God? You have trouble with your faith? Get around people of faith. It says throw off everything. Not some things, not selective on what you want, but throw off everything that hinders. Bible is very clear. Get rid of the things that cause you to stumble. Don't play with fire. Some scholars believe the reference is to all kinds of sins. When you look at this passage, others believe that it's specific sin. And I'm of the latter. I look at this and I see this and I believe when he says throw off everything that hinders. As soon as I say that, you know something that you need to throw off. He's very specific. It's going to be different for each one of us. Throw off the thing that hinders, and he'll give it to you. Get rid of the thing that easily entangles you. Again, something comes to mind. He's very direct, calls it like it is. Get rid of those things that are going to cause you to stumble and not finish your race. Get rid of them. Finish strong. Accomplish what God intends for you. He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Not the president. Not your circumstance. Fix your eyes on Jesus. There's an illustration, and y'all know how much I appreciate my Westie, but there's a dog obedience school that teaches you that you get on one end, you put the dog on one end and you put the master on the other end and you put a plate of food in the middle. You call your dog. If your dog gets trained to be focused on his master, he will go past that plate of food and he will go right straight for you. If he's distracted, He will stop in the middle to grab the food. And I'm telling you this morning that between you and your master, there's too many plates of goodies that we're getting distracted and we're not keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. Get your mind off circumstances, get your mind off your promises, and focus on God's goodness to you, both in the past and in the future. Jonah sat in the belly of the great fish. When I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. How many are in the belly of the fish at times, and then we look to the Lord? If you find yourself this morning, think that there's no job for you, you will never find a spouse, my time clock is kicking and I'll never have a baby, my sickness is forever, this country stinks, whatever's causing you to lose hope this morning, I'm telling you, focus your thoughts on God. Say amen to that. Focus your thoughts on God. Oswald Chambers says this. He says, we have no right to judge where we should be put or to have preconceived notions as to what God is fitting us for. God engineers everything. Wherever he puts us, our one great aim is to pour out a wholehearted devotion to him in that particular work. In Scripture, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And that's Oswald Chambers from My Utmost for the Highest. Folks, if you think you can stay focused on God without God, you're mistaken. If you believe that things will just happen without being intent, they will not. So very quickly, here's five things that will help you to stay focused. Maybe it'd be a good idea if you write some of these down. Number one is this: begin and end your day with God. Begin and end your day with God. And I know some of you are not morning people, and you say, well, I can't. I just barely get to work in time. I can't function without my coffee. I can't do this. But I'm telling you that if you begin and end your day with God, you will start and end the right way. If you begin your day, you're not a morning person. All right, start with a scripture and a prayer of acknowledgement. I'm telling you, if the first person you're talking to is the Lord before your feet hit the ground out of your bed, you're going to have a better day than without him. This can be as little as one scripture and a verse. You can come back later at night when supposedly you're better and do a bit of a study. Whatever works for you. But I'm telling you, you can't walk with God without talking to him. And I don't know about you, but at some point I'd like to talk to God rather than being so brain dead that I can't put a sentence together. Number two is staying in an attitude of prayer. Contrary to anybody's beliefs, you don't only have to talk to God at this altar. You don't only have to pray with your eyes closed and your hands folded. You don't have to, be next to your bed. You don't have to be so brain dead that you can't even think. But you can pray with him even while you're working. For those of you that just say how great of a multitasker you are, you can do that. You don't need your eyes closed. In fact, if you're driving, I recommend you keep your eyes open. You can talk to him all day long. Number three is limit your distractions, and that's a sermon in itself. And this is going to be different for each and every one of us. And a distraction I define as this: anything that keeps you out of a right relationship with God. I don't care if it's a good thing, a bad thing, whether it's a pleasure, whether it's work, whatever it is. If there's anything that keeps you out of a right relationship with God, it's a distraction. Everybody thinks all the bad things that are distracting us, you know, the addictions and all these other things. But good things distract us too. Let me tell you, if your boat is your God, it's a distraction. Whatever it is, it can be a distraction. If you're not growing in your relationship with the Lord, there are things you need to be looking at in your life. And I'm telling you, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. And I don't care if you're doing God's work. If you're too busy to pray, you are too busy, and God wants you to take something out. Number four is this: serving God every day. Now, every time that I say this, the old devil in my ear says, oh, they're just thinking you want money. They're just thinking that you want something done at the church. Well, I'm telling you, there's a reason that God tells us to be plugged in. It's going to keep us from stumbling. I want you to know something. You need your church family, and your church family needs you. You don't know the encouragement that you could be to somebody just by saying hello. You don't know the encouragement that you can be to somebody because whatever they're going through, you could offer some help. And sometimes they just need a sounding board and somebody willing to listen. And when you're plugged in, church isn't just somewhere you go to when you feel like it. It's somewhere where you belong. And it's coming to a family of believers that you want to be with. And the only way that happens is if you get plugged in. People struggle. People just miss and cannot stay focused on God because they don't get plugged in. They get so many distractions. God has something for every one of us to do. You get plugged in. You become family, and when you become family, when somebody's not there, you're going after them to want to reach out to them. Because I got news for you: you wouldn't go weeks without talking to your immediate family, would you? If you do, then you got some problems that probably should be something you deal with. But when we get plugged in, God has something for us. And for all of those that multitask, and this society just wants to say, you know, multitask, I realize we got lots of plates going. We got so many plates going on. If you could look in the spiritual realm, I think you'd see people like this. This is the way people would be running around their day, trying to get all of these plates to stop spinning. And I realize we're good. But you're not as good at multitasking as you think you are. Because there are things that you're not doing that you need to do. And you will do what is important. And unfortunately, the plates that end up falling are the things of God. Because nobody's there to just enforce it. It's not mandatory that you come to church. If you miss work like that, you'd be out. But it's not mandatory. So who's going to challenge you? And if they do, I'm going to tell them off. I'm going to tell them what I really think. Nobody sees your paycheck. Nobody knows what you're doing with your money. And we're challenged. But I'm telling you, we're trying to spin these plates. And some of us in the spiritual realm are losing some of these plates. And I'm telling you, you're not as good as you think you are. You're good, but you're not as good as you think you are. And the last one is getting rid of the sins that you know. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. First, God shows us what it is. Then he begins to convict us and tell us that we need to make these changes. And the Spirit of God reveals it as a child of God. If you don't understand God speaking to you, then you don't understand the fullness of God's Spirit wanting to dwell in a believer. Because he can lead us, he can guide us, he convicts us, he shows us the way. He brings us to a passage that maybe we've looked at before when we go through struggles. Our conscience begins to show us what we need to do, and then we need to address it. The Lord shows us that if we don't, there's going to be a problem. The Lord shows us that serving God keeps us closer to him. There's so many jokes about somebody sitting in bed on a Sunday morning going, you have to go to church. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to church. And the bottom line, and he said, why do I have to go? Because you're the pastor. So many of us are on that Sunday morning. It's not somebody over the bed telling us, but go to church. No, go to church. No, go to church. No. Why should I go? Some, and you'll understand what I'm saying, you're a leader. You have those days, but you got to fight through it. Why? Because you have something you have to do. And then once you get here, you're so glad you're here. Because the devil didn't win. But it's because you're plugged in. It's because you have a responsibility. It's because you would be letting somebody down. Can't spin those plates forever. You realize that sin destroys. And you realize that it's trapping us. And that only God can set you free from that. I'm getting ready to close here. You know why you should keep your eyes on Jesus? Because he's our perfect example. He's our perfect example. He accomplished what we need accomplished in our lives. He brought wholeness. He brought holiness. He brought freedom. And like the dog trainer, God teaches us to keep our eyes on him so that we don't run into these problems, that we don't chase so many treats, that we don't allow people and sometimes people that do us wrong, and we'd be justified to say they did that and that's why I'm doing this. But God says we need to be bigger. The strategy of Satan is to disconnect you from the things of God. And this morning I'm asking you, is there anything that is disconnecting you from walking with God? And if it is, identify it. It's a distraction. And the decisions that we make today will affect our tomorrows. Like I said before, what we need is Jesus. What we need is Jesus. Not to forget where we came from. Not to forget that, you know, we didn't always have it together and we still don't. If you think you have it all together, whoa, you're still spinning plates that you're not as good as you think you are. I thought of this morning about keeping God first every day. And I thought of it this way. Monday as wash day. God, wash me. Make me as white as snow. Wash me, God. Quick prayer, short prayer, right to the point, gets the day started right. Tuesday may be ironing day. God, get the wrinkles out of my life. Help me to walk the way you want me to walk. Help me to be who you want me to be. And anything that would keep me not that way, iron it out. Wednesday could be mending day. Kind of funny, we don't even use that term mending anymore. You got a pair of socks, got a hole in it, you throw them out. Nobody, Nobody mends them anymore, but mend me, Lord, and get the holes out of my life. Help me. Thursday could be cleaning day. Cleanse me, Lord. Help me to get these things out of my heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. May each day, this could be our prayer. May each day, Lord, that you would have to scrub less. Say amen to that. Friday's payday. That's not my payday, but most people's paydays. Lord, help me not to forget that everything that I have, I got from you. Everything that I have, the Word of God tells us, is a gift from God. Saturday for some could be play day or cook day, depending on what you do. Some cook up their meals for the whole week. Lord, help me to prepare the foods for next week, and I remember your goodness. Lord, as I give thanks and I pray today and play today, help me to remember how blessed and thankful I should be. And then Sunday is the Lord's Day. May I be in the house of the Lord, worshiping God with my church family and lifting up holy hands to a God and Redeemer of my soul. That would be a great way to remember the week. And I believe if you did that, as silly and stupid as that probably sounds to some, if you took the time to do that, God would change your heart. See, I get a big kick out of this when we talk about millennials and we talk about age difference and we talk about reaching different generations. One of the first things that we hear is, you know, today people with their tattoos and piercings. And then I always just chuckle because I'm the other generation. I remember bell bottoms, platform shoes, and what we did behind buildings. We're no different. The rebellion's the same. The challenging of God is the same. We all need Jesus. We all need to remember where we came from. We all need to get that rebellious act out of our hearts and have an attitude change. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And here's what we're going to do. It's 12 o'clock. I'm going to take just a minute. I want to have a word of prayer. And anyone that would stand here like me, I'm the first one up here this morning to say that often thinking of God is not enough. Say amen to that. Every day, every circumstance, every situation, God, may you have a part in it. So I'm just going to give you a minute. I'm not going to ask for put anybody on the spot. If you want to come, then I'm going to ask you to come because in about 10 seconds, I'm going to begin praying. If you want to say to God this morning, I don't want to only think about you once in a while. I want to think about you always. And you mean it, then I want you to come this morning. And then I want us to pray together that we would be a church, that we would be family, that we would be a community of believers that want this to happen in our lives. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord God, we know that focusing on you is hard. We know it comes with a lot of distractions that have to be overcome. We know that it comes with a lot of obstacles. A lot of times we have to stand on our principles, and it creates problems. And if we don't address a problem right away, we know, Lord God, that as we drift away, it gets harder and harder to come to you. But this morning as a church, this morning as families, this morning as individuals, Lord God, we desire to keep our focus on you. We know you can change this country. We know you can change circumstances. We know you can change attitudes in the hearts. But Lord God, as much as we know it, sometimes we don't live it. May we be the light to this community. May we be the light to this church and this family. God, may we be faithful to you. May we look to your word to direct us and not get beat up by circumstances and situations, and that you would get honor and glory. I pray for each one that's around this altar. I pray for each one that is bowing their head in sincerity, that wants that in their lives. Lord God, I'm asking first that your anointing would fall fresh on them, that they would sense your presence. They would sense that, Lord God, you've heard their prayer and you will answer it. And Lord God, that you will begin to do the mending, the cleansing that is needed. And we're going to give you honor. And we're going to give you praise. May the devil not steal what God you're doing this morning, but we would stand on your word and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.